Too many students are missing too much school. That's among the findings of a new report from Helios Education Foundation and others that looks at the issue of chronic absenteeism in grades K through 8. And the problem is especially acute among low-income students and students of color. With me to talk about this is Paul Perrault, Senior Vice President of Community Impact and Learning at Helios Education Foundation. And Paul, it seems like what you found is, perhaps not surprisingly, that over the course of the pandemic, and even now, this is a problem that has gotten worse over the last few years?
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Great question. It really has gotten worse over the last couple of years. And I wanted to just highlight for everyone, you know, what chronic absenteeism is. Number one, it's missing 10% or more of the school year, which in Arizona is 180 days. So looking at about 18 days or more, you're defined as chronically absent. And the focus really is, we've seen, you know, prior to the pandemic, we were about 12 to 14% of our student population was chronically absent. The pandemic changed that, and really it jumped up nearly 60%, around 57% to 22%, kind of going from a range of 100,000 students in Arizona being chronically absent to more than 160,000.
Do we know specifically why? I mean, I would imagine there are a lot of possible reasons for that, but have you been able to nail down some of the more prevalent reasons for that?
Yeah, one of the things is kind of just like a lot of education issues, there is no one issue. And, you know, kind of like there is no silver bullet to improving how we fix chronic absenteeism. But there's a wide range of different reasons that can be associated. Number one was, you know, just health issues. People were nervous during the pandemic. And especially in the earlier grades, in kindergarten and first grade, we saw a lot more chronic absenteeism with families probably choosing to keep their kids home. Another reason that we've talked about with different groups is just that, you know, some kids had parents and families where they might have to pitch in more. Having to babysit more or be at home. Those are just a couple of reasons, but, you know, really just it changed the mindset about, you know, are you fully safe going to school and what was happening during the pandemic, and whether you should go to school or whether you should stay and have other options with remote learning.
Well, so given those, why do you think the numbers are still where they are, especially because it seems like most people are, at least, you know, judging by the number of masks you see out in the community, it seems like most people aren't super worried about getting COVID anymore.
Yeah, it's a great question. And it probably varies by age groups. I think for some students, especially if you were older and you weren't actually, I guess in some ways, if school wasn't your main priority or you weren't doing as well in school, you got used to not going to school. And so you worry about those kids that were older that might, you know, not go back and might end up dropping out. And I think that's one way, one grouping about that. I think for some other families and options, you know, they did look at virtual options or homeschooling and remote schooling, and not everybody has bounced back yet. I do see chronic absenteeism as kind of the old rubber band phenomenon. You know, an old rubber band doesn't always just snap back. Mm-hmm. We're slowly seeing everyone get back and we're getting to that point, but we're still having students that are missing more school than they were prior to the pandemic.
So what do we do about this? You mentioned there's no one silver bullet, but what are some possibilities for trying to reverse this?
I would say number one, again, thank you for highlighting that there's no silver bullet. But number one is, let's start with the data. How do we lead with data and keep coming back to this? So, you know, one thing is chronic absenteeism really focuses on looking at a student that misses 18 days or more within a school. We probably need to think about that and more broadly, because if you transfer schools from, you know, if I went to one school in Phoenix and then went to another school in Yuma and I had missed 10 in Phoenix and then I missed another 10 days in Yuma, I'm technically not chronically absent. So I think number one is, you know, like, let's have a stronger definition around chronic absenteeism so that we can capture all students that are missing a lot of school. Relationships are keys. You know, we just recently had a convening, Mark, and had three school district superintendents or school leaders just talk about the relationships and continuing to build those relationships with families, and the teachers having those connections with families to re-highlight the importance of education and why it's important for their kids to be to school. And early identification, I think, is a big issue too. We can't wait to reach out to families when somebody has missed 10 days. How do we start talking to families after one absence or two absences?
I want to go back to the first thing you mentioned, which seemed to indicate that maybe even the numbers that you're coming up with are an undercount, that, you know, students who maybe are switching schools, you know, there are some number of students who maybe are chronically absent, but just aren't being captured in this data.
Yeah, we actually have looked at that, Mark, and what we saw is about another 1-2% of students are actually chronically absent under an expanded definition of no matter what school you went to 18 days or more. Is it the number astronomical? No, but you know, 1-2% of a million, you know, you're starting to get another 1,000 to 10,000 people once you start looking at those ranges.
Right. So when you talk about the things that, you know, districts and school leaders can do, do they have the resources to do those things? Like, obviously, it doesn't take a lot of resources to build a relationship. But in terms of trying to, you know, have maybe some extra communication or be on the lookout for students who maybe have missed a couple days and, you know, folks are worried, you know, this could become more of a trend. Like, do districts, do the folks working in those districts have the ability to do that?
You know, that's one of the challenges, is you worry about schools and districts having the resources. We had three examples, and I will highlight those districts if people wanted to reach out to them. Avondale, Tanque Verde, and Washington School District, where we had superintendents and district leaders talk about how they look at data, how they focus on it, what are the interventions that they put in place, how they actually, you know, focus on rewarding students, you know, not punishing students that are missing a lot of school. And they all talked about being able to do it. It does take a focus. It does take some support.
Do you get the sense that there are other states that have a similar problem as us? Like, is Arizona an outlier here, or is this an issue that a number of states are dealing with?
Yeah, this is not an Arizona issue. A lot of kids are not returning to school, or they're missing a lot of time. With the chronic absenteeism, it's showing some pretty big differences if we look at it in an equitable way. So number one, before the pandemic, you know, if we look at, you know, who's being most affected by chronic absenteeism, one thing I would say is that we're seeing students that are from low-income backgrounds missing a lot more school. And then the biggest thing is that, you know, we talk about equity gaps. We look at third grade reading. We focus on the differences between white students and Black students and Hispanic or Latino students. And one of the things that we've seen with chronic absenteeism is that many of our more minority students or low-income students back to as well are missing more school than white students in comparison. And so that is another big concern, is that if we see those students missing more school, then we start to worry about having bigger gaps in third grade reading, bigger gaps in eighth grade math.
Well, it sounds like the concern here is that chronic absenteeism would exacerbate existing gaps and existing problems.
Exactly. Chronic absenteeism was an issue. You know, again, 12-14% before, but it is exacerbating problems that were there before the pandemic.
All right. That is Paul Perrault, Senior Vice President of Community Impact and Learning with Helios Education Foundation. Paul, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.